been an uncloudy day. You know, we think of clouds as representative of the negative experiences of life. We often associate clouds with gloom, negativity. Clouds often portend the coming of storms. We experience, from a meteorological standpoint, clouds in the real world, often accompanied by thunder and lightning and drenching rains, often accompanied by fierce and devastating winds. And that causes us, in a lot of instances, not to favor clouds on an actual natural meteorological level. We know what clouds mean. But we can also identify with clouds in our lives on a spiritual and emotional level. We sometimes have hanging ominously over our lives clouds of gloom and despair. Clouds of trials and tribulations. Clouds of suffering and pain. Clouds of emotional turmoil. Clouds of sickness. Clouds of bereavement. Oftentimes, various storms rush unceremoniously into our lives, sometimes without warning. We find ourselves in the storms of life. But we look forward to the time when we will be transported to the land of cloudless day. To the place where no storm clouds rise, a place of an uncloudy day and unclouded skies. You don't have to worry about the storms anymore. You don't have to worry about the thunder and lightning. You don't have to worry about fierce winds that blow in that land of the uncloudy day. That's one of those songs we don't sing much anymore. but I'm glad we sung it today. Turn with me now, please, to our scripture lesson. I want to talk to you this evening as I regain my composure on an oxymoronic subject, or using an oxymoronic title. When you speak of an oxymoron, you're speaking in terms of that which seems to be self-contradictory, like jumbo shrimp. Shrimp means small, anyway. When we think about oxymorons, it just seems to have a built-in contradiction. I'd like to use the specific title of our lesson this evening, Grow Up and Act Like a Child. Grow up and act like a child. Or grow up and be childlike. Jesus in Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 6, lets us know some things about children and how he felt about children. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus with a question. This is an interrogation. And they ask, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Seems like sometimes these guys were preoccupied with greatness and who was going to be the greatest. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, had their mother. She came to Jesus and she wanted to have her boys be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. She said, I want one of my boys to sit on your right hand, to be your right hand man. And the other one to be on the left. I want my boys to be top dogs in the kingdom. I want them to have positions of prominence in your kingdom. But Jesus had to teach them a valuable lesson. As he taught them on the occasion in our scripture lesson this evening, they came to Jesus interrogating him, asking, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Sometimes we are confronted by the same kind of mentality. Individuals want to know, who is the greatest? And some aspire to be the greatest in the church. But the response that Jesus made to them was, I'm sure, somewhat surprising to them. Jesus responded to their interrogation by providing a living illustration. An object lesson. You know, there are good reasons why Jesus has been dubbed the master teacher. He just had a special knack for teaching in very meaningful ways. Jesus, in verse 2, called a little child. Well, how little, Brother Jones? I don't know. But he was a child, and he was a little child. He called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them, a living, alive object lesson. I don't know how close the little child was to him, but he was close enough for Jesus to call him. He said, "Come here, son." That little child, whomever he might have been, responded to the call of Jesus. There's a whole lesson right in that. I love obedient children. I love children who will do what they are bidden to do by a responsible adult. So he responded promptly to the call of Jesus. Wouldn't it be wonderful if all folk would respond promptly to the call of Jesus? I think it would. And Jesus set him in the midst of them. I think there's significance there. The placement of this child, he put him in the midst. And I think that children should be prominently placed in our lives, in our families, in our congregations. They should have a prominent place. They should have some positions or placements of priority. Put him right there, smack dab in the middle. I like that. Children are valuable, and we need them. Because the thing is, children don't remain children. A lot of our young people here, I remember before some of them were born, and I'm not all that old. Now they're 17, 18, 19. What happened to them? They've grown up. Or as Ernest T. Bass would say, they all growed up. Time is passing. Children are getting older and older. And we have to give them places of priority. Then Jesus makes a unique, thought-provoking declaration. Verse number 3, and said, "Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and not become little children." He didn't say, "I want y'all to become little children. I want y'all to be little children." That's not what he said. But it is very significant what he actually did say. He says, "Except you be converted, except you be changed and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." That's strong stuff. In order to be granted entrance into the kingdom of heaven, you're going to have to become as little children. And then he bids emulation. Verse number 4. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. You can't be great if you are haughty. You can't be great if you are proud. You can't be great if you are conceited. You can't be great if you are vain. A prerequisite to greatness is humility. If you want to be great, Jesus reveals in that other passage to which we've recently made reference, you must be a servant. If you want to be exalted, you have to come down. Humble yourselves, admonishes Peter, 1 Peter 5 and verse 6, under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in due season or in due time. Humility is a prerequisite. Jesus humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He admonishes, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. We have to likewise humble ourselves. Jesus said, whosoever therefore shall humble himself, whoever will emulate this child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And then he gives a commendation. Verse number 5, whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. Doesn't that make you want to take a special interest in little children? Doesn't that make you want to do whatever you can for little children? Doesn't it make you want to promote the welfare of little children to the degree to which you are capable or able? I love folk who love little children. Don't you love folk who love little children? Don't you love little children? You know, I always say that some people don't need children. Some people don't need to try to teach. If you have an ugly attitude toward children, don't care nothing about children, not even concerned about children, don't want to be bothered with children, you find something else to do. Maybe behind the scene you can do some things, but if you don't love little children, don't you try to work with little children. Yeah, you do something else. There are a lot of other things that you can do. Yeah, you can pick up paper on the yard. Yeah, you can help clean out the toilets. Brother Jones, you ought to be ashamed. Well, there's work for everybody to do. There's much to do. There's work on every hand. We need to be busy. But I'm just saying, if you don't lack children, and I've heard some folks say, I don't think anybody here, I can't stand little children. That's awful, Gervais. And I hadn't heard Gervais say that. So Gervais look and say, I ain't saying that. But Jesus says, Whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. I don't like to single out my precious wife from the pulpit, but I'm going to do it just briefly. She has a special place. She said, no. She has a special place in her heart for children. And she loves to do for children. She loves to see children well taken care of. She loves to see children have things. That wasn't bad, was it? Yeah, but Jesus, he loved little children. And he says, whosoever shall receive one, just one such little child in my name receiveth me. But oh, he comes up after the commendation. He comes up with a caustic condemnation. Verse 6, this one ought to cause us to shake in our boots. But in stark contrast, whosoever or whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, you do anything to harm or to hurt one of these little ones who believe in me. This is rather, to some, it might seem to be kind of harsh. It were better for him that a millstone were hang about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. That's a severe sentence, a tragic penalty imposed upon one who would abuse and who would misuse a little child. Y'all know what a millstone is, don't you? Yeah, some of y'all probably hadn't heard of a millstone. You modern folks buying store-bought meal and store-bought flour. When I was growing up on the farm in Marigold, Mississippi, we used to take corn to the mill, and they ground it up into meal, from which we made cornbread. Some of y'all say cornbread. And Dad would go up to the mill, he stored it up there, and he would get 25-pound sacks of it. He might bring two or three sacks of it home. Then when that ran out, he'd go back and get some more. He did that with the corn, and he did it with the wheat, so we could have flour for those fine homemade biscuits that my mama made. But they had millstones that they used to grind that corn into meal and to grind that wheat into flour. So these were huge circular stones. And usually they used two of them, and they rubbed them together close to each other. And they crushed the grain and ground it into meal or into flour. These stones were massive stones. And what Jesus is saying here, anybody who offends or who injures or who abuses a little child who believes in me, anybody who takes that, and Jesus is sending out hundreds of years before it ever developed, he is sending out an amber alert to anybody who would abuse a child. He said it was better for that person, whomever it might be, male or female, that a millstone was hanged about their neck and that they be drowned in the depth of the sea. I think he pretty clearly communicates how he felt about children. We need to be more like children that Jesus talks about. We need to grow up and be childlike. You say, Brother Jones, we don't need to be acting like no children. We don't need to be childish. Wait a minute. Wait just a minute. I didn't say nothing about you growing up and being childish. I say grow up and be childlike. There is a definitive difference in being childlike and being childish. We need to avoid, like the plague, childishness, but we need to pursue childlikeness. Childishness is having or showing the unpleasant qualities that children often have, such as silliness, or lack of maturity, or lack of ability to understand. We don't need to be childish, but we do need to grow up and be childlike. What is childlikeness? Childlikeness is resembling or suggesting a child, like that of a child. Notice now, having or showing the pleasing qualities that children often have, qualities like innocence, trust, a spirit of forgiveness. That's how we should be childlike. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 20. Paul here says, brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children. You know, little children, and I think God made them like this. Little children, they do not usually harbor malice, harbor ill will, hold grudges against their mamas. A mama at 2 o'clock can whip a little child's bottom. She can tear his little hide. And at 5 minutes after two, he's in her lap and she's holding him and hugging him. And he's clinging to her. Wait a minute. Child, aren't you mad with your mama? She just beat your bottom. That's not the case. He's not holding any grudge against her. He's not holding any malice against her. And some people, poor things, misguided, as Brother Keeble would say, they don't know no better. No, I can't be beating up on my child. Yeah, I can send him to the corner. I can send him to his room. I cannot let him play with his toys for a few hours or a few days, but I can't beat him. Yo, he won't care nothing about me if I beat him. If thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. He might holler like it's killing him, but he'll be all right. Yes. And years later, he'll thank his mama. He'll say, mama, thank you so much thank you for disciplining me. He does not hold any ill will, any grudge, any negative things against his mama, because he realizes, almost instinctively, he realizes that her corporeal disciplinary administrations are indicative of her love for him. There was a fella father telling his little boy, he said, son, he said, I'm spanking you because I love you. And the little boy looked up at his dad and he said, I wish I was big enough to return your love. But children just know that pretty instinctively. And so Paul says, in malice be children. You know, some of us become offended. Some of us are hurt by a brother or sister. And we harbor the malice. We harbor the ill will. We hold a grudge for a protracted period of time. It disturbs and parts us asunder in our relationships. Grow up! Be like a child. Don't be holding no grudge. Children are quick to forgive. That's the way we ought to be. We ought to be quick to forgive. Children are quick to trust. They trust their parents. They trust their mamas. They trust their daddies. We ought to trust our dad spiritually. We ought to have the innocent trust in the great God of heaven. Our Father, who art in heaven. We need that same kind of childlike trust. Grow up and be a child. One last passage, 1 Corinthians 13:11. The church in its early stages, we liken it to a stage of childhood. And Paul indicates something else, the other side of the coin. He says, there were certain spiritual gifts that attended the early stage of the church. After the church reached a stage of maturity or a certain level of maturity, these childlike things were dispensed with. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13:11, when I was a child, I spake as a child. That is, I talked like a child. Not only that, but I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. There's some things you dispense with. Yeah, most girls, once they grow up, of course I know some of them collect dolls. You know, they got their Barbie dolls and Black Barbie and all kinds of Barbies. But most children, once they grow to a certain level, they put away some of those childish things. Mama, once a baby grows up, she takes away his bottle. She takes away his pacifier. She takes away his little pull toys. A lot of stuff she just takes away, and she might give it to somebody else, or she might put it in a yard sale. Why? Because her child has grown beyond that. Her child has matured. You see a 4 or 5 year old walking around sucking a bottle. You see something wrong with that child. You see Centurius walking around with a pacifier in his mouth. You say, man, that guy needs to grow up. Get rid of that pacifier. You probably don't remember when you had a pacifier last, do you? Yeah, he said, no. So there are some things, childish things, we need to put away. Now, there's one thing as we close that can be childlike and that can be childish, the opposites. Sometimes children are very selfish. And so for us to be selfish is childish. But on the other hand, sometimes children can be very generous and selfless. Some children just delight in sharing, delight in giving. But then a certain age a child is, he wants to hold on to everything. Mine! And he'll snatch things from his little sister. This is mine! That selfishness. But when he's willing to say, you can have this, honey. You can have this, John. Or Mary, you can have this. That's unselfish sharing and generosity. We need to be unselfish, like a child, not selfish, being childish. Grow up and be a child, be like a child. The lesson is yours. If you're here and you are not a child of God, you have not humbled yourself to the point like a little child and surrendered your life to the Lord. You can